Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So good to have you here and everyone watching online. God bless you. And Merry, Happy New Year, post-Christmas, and everything that this time is right now. This message today is really about looking forward. And the title of the message is Look Expectantly, and it's from Psalm 145, verses 10 through 16. This was actually a portion of scripture that my wife Margaret and I had in our devotion a couple weeks ago. And while we were going through it, I just thought, wow, this is something we need to discuss right now. And because it's, again, it's really about looking forward and living a life that's expectant about, you know, what God's going to do in our lives. And I think we can kind of get caught up in the times and the troubles and the worries and the trials and be given over to despair if we're not careful. But God breaks through all of that, doesn't he? And he meets us in the trials. That's what I love about our Lord, is how many times has he met us in our trials and helped us and lifted up our heads and said, this isn't it. This trial doesn't define you. It just is going to remind you of how faithful God is and how he's going to get you through this. And I think it's fair to say all of us are going through some kind of trial right now, maybe multiple trials, but God is so faithful. So the blessing of this study today is to keep our eyes fixed on him and trust him throughout, no matter what this life throws at us. As we're formulating a vision for 2021 with a new year coming for our church here, you know, Margaret and I have been here almost 3 months now, and boy, that went quick. It went so fast. And we barely started. We barely have scratched the surface, but our heart is to get back to basics, if you will, just get back to the fundamentals. My dad, when I came to faith years ago, thinking he was insulting me, said, Brad, you're a fundamentalist. And I'm thinking, well, that sounds pretty good. I'll take that. It was an old label that he was trying to insult me with, but I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? I fundamentally believe in the Word of God. I'll take it. It's an old school label, and he was trying to hurt my feelings with it, but I'll take that all day long. And I think as long as we are true to God's word, that we worship him in spirit and truth, that our prayer lives are rich and dynamic and full and consistent, we're going to be okay. As long as we got the basics covered, yes, we go through trials and difficulties, maybe even doubt, maybe even struggling with our faith at worst, discouraged, I pray not, but we're human, we're flesh and blood, and those things happen, right? But God gets us through them, and together we're better. So we're praying that all things work together for good for those that love God and they're called according to his purpose, not our purposes, his purpose, right? So as we do church, as we do life together, let's keep our eyes fixed on him. And that's the message today, is this call to live expectantly, to be spiritually watchful, if you will, and to constantly and consistently be in touch with the Lord, no matter what, so that when the divine appointments come, when the trials come, when the difficulties come, our house is built on the rock and we're not going to be blown away by that particular difficult situation. And we can be a witness in that moment to those who are going through COVID or whatever right now. They can say, how come you're so strong? How come you still have joy? How come there's still hope in you? It's Jesus in me. It's not me. It's the Lord in me that gives me the ability to carry on. Amen? So that's what we're called to do. So we're going to look at this lifestyle, if you will, of being watchful Ephesians 6:18 says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Life is really a matter of persevering, isn't it? Through difficult times, mountaintops and valleys. We still have to persevere and ask God for strength when we feel weak. So we're going to look at three movements here in our verses, which I'll read in a second here. But number one, the verse talks about his creation. So we look at his creation, we're able to live faithfully and give him praise for his works. And you'll see that. Secondly, our generation, we're called to live eternally here and now and forever. When we get hit by a problem and we get caught up in the temporal, in the moment, God reminds us that we have an eternal home heading for us, and it gives us a healthy perspective on life. And thirdly, the fruition, that's the fruit, to live fruitfully. As our God lifts us up, we are able in that moment to expect great things. And it's really an attitude, isn't it? It's a perspective and an attitude we have when we wake up in the morning and say, yeah, you know what? I've got this trial right now, but God is going to get me through this, and I'm going to draw my strength from him. So it's about his creation, our generation, and the fruit, the fruition that comes from our faith. Let me read you the scriptures again. It's Psalm 145, verses 10 through 16 in your Bibles. Okay, here we go. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Praise God. So, again, our title is to look expectantly. Let me pose the question, what do you expect? What do you expect from God? What do you expect from life? What do you expect as you go through this life? And are your expectations being met right now? Do you feel like there's a shortfall somewhere? Do you feel like maybe someone's disappointed you? Do you feel like life is incomplete and you're discontented? I used to think of my life as Swiss cheese, just with all these holes in it, and I needed someone, something, some kind of hope to fill in all those holes. I feel more like mozzarella right now, I think. Because God, over time, has filled in all those holes. Another way to look at it is life is a puzzle. It's like a picture puzzle. And moment by moment, trial by trial, year by year, God fills in the pieces. And as we go through life, the picture comes into view of who we are, what identifies us, what is meaningful to us as people, you know, our family, our relationships, the things we do, what's important, what's really important to us. You know, I can't imagine going through this time with COVID and our country and just the difficulties of life without the Lord in my life. I think of that and I shudder, because I am so dependent on the Lord, and he gives me so much strength and love and kindness and tenderness and everything that he is, that in the moment, I can just close my eyes and say, Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me peace about this. Lord, help me not to worry. Help me not to get discouraged. Show me, Lord, teach me what you're doing right now. And so when you have that kind of prayer life and you're constantly in touch with the Lord and you're able to hear his still small voice, it gets you through times like this. Not just getting you through it to survive it, but he gets us through it victoriously. And that's the blessing of being a follower of Jesus Christ, is because of the victory he gives us no matter what this life throws at you. And with all that, we're given a state of readiness, which is actually a military term. Readiness is defined as a state of having been made ready or prepared for use or action. So we have this testimony, we have this life, God's proven himself faithful in trial after trial after trial, then what? That's what this message is about, because it's about being ready for the next thing, the next trial, the next blessing, whatever it is, the next challenge. This church is challenged right now, right? For many reasons. And whatever the reasons are, God's will be done. We have to just come together, circle the wagons, if you will, and pray and say, okay, Lord, this is your church. What do you want to do with this church? What is our future and hope of this church? And how can we come together? What do we need to correct? What do we need to change? What do we need to keep doing? What do we need to do to get this place to where it's in God's perfect will? Whatever that is, however he defines that. But you see, if we can define all of that together and we know God's in it, then it's going to be pretty exciting. Because, again, like I've said here before, this is the core, right? This is the remnant, if you will. And I know and trust all of you know the Lord, love the Lord, believe in the Lord, that he's going to do something, or you wouldn't be coming. And everyone online that's watching, right? You would just say, well, that church is done, I'm going to move on. And maybe people have done that. But those that are hanging in there, that still love this place for all the reasons you love it, we pray that we can come alongside now and bring God's blessing, bring God's word, bring God's attention to the things that we need to work on, okay? So that's why we're trying to lay this foundation of fundamentals of the word and worship and prayer. And our goal here is every Sunday we come here is to do better, to be good Boy Scouts, to leave this place better than when we left it. And I think as long as we do that effectively, then we've done our job. And we don't know the timeline. That's the mystery, right? But we trust God with that. But as we come here and as we share what God's doing in our lives, we hope that the Holy Spirit comes in and brings in a fresh wind and a fresh fire that's going to light this place up. We don't know what that looks like. We just know our God is good. And as long as we look and live expectantly, good things are going to happen. There's an excellent parable that Jesus gives us in Matthew 25 of being ready when he comes and not being ready. And so there's those two camps, right? Essentially believers and non-believers. And you know the story. It's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And I'm just going to paraphrase it for you this morning. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who took lamps to meet the bridegroom. So they were getting ready for a wedding, right? There were 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. The 5 foolish virgins had no oil for their lamps for when they were to go meet the bridegroom. The 5 wise virgins had oil in their vessels ready for their lamps when the bridegroom was to come. While the bridegroom was delayed, all 10 virgins slept. It said they slumbered and slept. And at midnight, they heard a loud cry saying, "The bridegroom is here. Go out and meet him." So the virgins trimmed their lamps, and the wise virgins were ready. But the foolish virgin said to the wise, "Give us some oil. Our lamps are going out." So the wise virgin said to the foolish ones, "Go into town to those who buy and sell oil and get the oil that we need, but we can't share because we won't have enough." So the foolish virgins went into town, and the wise virgins were able to meet the bridegroom because they had their lamps lit. And they were accepted into the wedding, and it says the door was shut. The foolish virgins come to the door of the wedding feast, and they're knocking on the door, and Jesus opens the door and says, I do not know you. And the door was shut to them, and they weren't ready. Jesus says, watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We are all called to be ready for the Lord's soon return. If Jesus was to rapture the church in the next 5 minutes, would you go? Would you be ready? Are you rapture ready? That's what we all have to give an affirmative yes to right now. If there's any hesitation, and I've asked people this before, and it's like, well, I hope so. It's like, okay, you're not sure. Why is that? Well, I'm trying. Trying to be a good person, right? Have you ever been in that kind of conversation? And that always just makes me shudder, because that person is actually announcing, I'm not saved. I don't have the Holy Spirit. I am not born again. And Jesus said, that's the only way. So then that's an open door to witness to that person, say, well, would you like to know for sure? If you're here today, or you're listening or watching, and you're not sure when that question is asked, I'm going to help you in a very simple prayer at the end of this message to make sure, because these days we cannot allow any kind of doubt or any kind of lifestyle or any kind of hang up, sin or whatever, or even religion that's going to keep us from the love of God. We have to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, so we know without any doubt we are saved and we're going to heaven and we're rapture ready. Amen? Okay. So the context of this psalm, David's writing these words to us 3,000 years ago. That blows my mind, because when I read these scriptures, it directly applies to our lives right here, right now, in 2020, almost 21. So that shows you the absolute power and beauty and relevance, most of all, the Word of God, that we can apply it now. Something was written 3,000 years ago. Remember, God's outside of time, and he inspired King David to write these words down, knowing that they'd be perfectly applicable to every one of us throughout time. This psalm is a psalm of praise, which many of the psalms are psalms of praise. What's the most common Hebrew word we use when we say praise God? Is hallelujah, right? And whenever I hear anybody in the world say hallelujah, like maybe they're joking, and they just say, oh, hallelujah, you know, they're actually saying praise the Lord. Praise ye be the Lord is the old English definition, right? And I thought, well, even though they don't really know what they're saying, they're still praising the Lord. And God can use that somehow. We give praise where praise is due. The word hallelujah is made up of two words, halal and yah. Halal means to shine. Are you shining for Jesus this morning? It means to flash forth light. We are the light of the world, right? When we shine light into this darkness, this dark world, it makes people cringe, doesn't it? When you share an offensive message like the gospel and you're declaring to whomever you're witnessing to that they are lost, that they're in sin, they are in darkness, and you shine a light into that truth, what happens? Do they accept it right away? No. They recoil, don't they? It's like getting up in the middle of the night and turning all the lights on. You have to remember that. When we shine a light into someone's darkness, And that light comes on, it is either convicting and they deal with it, or they run away from it, right? And they'll say, so, hey, that's good for you, Brad, but I've got my own light. I love my sin and I love my darkness, right? It's usually two responses like that, or that's good for you, but I've got my own thing going. And that's when your heart breaks and you just say, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm here for you when you go through those difficult times in life. So again, we're praising the Lord. And it talks about the saints praising God in heaven. Hallelujah is only mentioned four times in the New Testament, and it's all in Revelation. And it's about the angels and the elders really worshiping Jesus and saying hallelujah. For example, in Revelation 19:6, it says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as a sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. We're going to hear that when we go to heaven. We're going to hear that sound of many waters. If you've ever been to a stadium with thousands of people in it, or watched a game before COVID on TV, and you hear that roar of the crowd, that sounds like rushing water. Have you ever been by a mighty river that's rushing with rapids? They sound very similar. That's what the sound of the voice of Jesus sounds like. And it's a sound that just stops you in your tracks, especially if you hear it from far away. It's really a beautiful noise. So we praise, our praise of the generations is encompassed by the past, the present, and the future. We should always praise God for all things. So the first thing we praise him for is his creation. We give praise, in this case, where praise is due. And the evidence of his creation is all around us. You know, that's why I feel like people live in the city are kind of disadvantaged from a faith standpoint, because they're surrounded by concrete and asphalt and steel. You know, if you've ever been to a big city like New York, it's all of that. And of course they have Central Park, but it's still in the big city. And there's this coldness to city living. And I think that you have an advantage here when you're able to get out from the craziness of the big city, and because people get caught up in that lifestyle. But when you're able to get away and it's quiet, quiet is precious, I think. I think as you age too, I think you learn to appreciate peace and quiet a lot more. Because when you have that quiet, you're able to hear God's still small voice. You're able to take stock of your life. You're not distracted by the things of the world. I think city people, big city people especially, are very distracted. And I've done a lot of work and lived in the big city, in LA specifically, a lot of my life. And that distraction wears on you. And we were so glad to get out. Praise God. So our verse here is verse 10 from Psalm 145. All your works shall praise you, O Lord. Again, it's his creation. It's the work of his hands that we praise him for. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Were any of you able to see the thing that happened in the sky that hasn't happened in 800 years when Jupiter and Saturn almost touched, it looked like? That was pretty phenomenal. Almost 800 years since that happened. That was a blessing, and we got to see it just with our bare, with my old eyes, we got to see it, and it was a pretty special moment. But that's God's handiwork, and we praise him for it. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Again, when you're in the city, all you're seeing are man-made buildings and streets and freeways, right? But when you're in God's creation, you sense his order and his peace and his design. All of creation was given to us by a creator. And to think otherwise is to just deny, really, the obvious. And that's what that whole theory of evolution is about. That's another topic. The evidence of faith that we have that God created the heavens and the earth has substance and evidence. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We trust in a living God by looking at the evidence of the work that he's done, that there is a God, there is a Lord, and a creator of heaven and earth. So our response by faith to his works is to praise him for his works, for his creation. Our psalm goes on to say, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Look at the conversation here. Look at these words. It says, they shall speak and talk and make known. So this is the conversations that we're having as followers of Jesus Christ. When we come together and we're talking about the things of life and how good God is. And you're having a conversation, maybe you're in public and you're with a believer, maybe you have someone you haven't seen in a while, or just someone from church, you run into them, and the conversation comes around to what Jesus is doing in your life, and people overhear your conversation. And it's a way of talking that we have that the world doesn't have. We might take it for granted. You may have been a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years, and you take your conversation for granted that it's filled with love and joy and peace and the good things of God. But somebody walking in the world has maybe never even heard somebody talk that way. And you can be a witness just in your daily lives. It's what I call conversational evangelism. And just talking about what Jesus is doing in your life, and it's powerful. And so just be aware of that. And what it does is it draws people in. When you're talking about how good God is and how much he loves you and the good things he's doing in your life, and people I try to identify and say, well, gee, that's not me. They must be a religious person, you know, or whatever's going through their mind. But we can see that in that moment as a divine appointment where we can be a good and powerful witness for the Lord. Psalm 9:1 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Share with people what God is doing in your life. Share with people your prayer requests, your needs, the desires of your heart. So that, again, we're looking forward saying, gee, I wonder what God's going to do with this church. I wonder what God's going to do with all these health problems that we prayed for earlier. I wonder what God's going to do, you know, fill in the blank, whatever. What's on your heart right now? See, so we're looking expectantly for God to move and work in his church right here and right now. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And you might say, well, Brad, I'm not an evangelist. Well, you are. Maybe you're not Billy Graham. Maybe you're not Greg Laurie, but because you are identified in Christ and people hopefully see you as a Christian, that you can still be an evangelist. You can still influence the way people think about life, the people you are close to, your sphere of influence. We just had a sphere of influence with our families, right, for Christmas. Hopefully some of you, most of you were able to gather. Some could, some couldn't. But that's our sphere of influence. That's who the unsaved family and friends I'm talking about, you evangelize to them by representing Jesus Christ. We're all ambassadors of Christ, right? So as we take on that role, it's our challenge to say, okay, how am I doing as an evangelist? Maybe I'm not up with a wireless microphone, and maybe I'm not in a formal evangelist situation, but my daily life should be evangelizing others to Christ. See how that works? So we live faithfully. Secondly, our generation is called to live eternally with a perspective on where all this is going in the here and now, and especially the future. Okay? We serve and love and are blessed by an eternal God. Verse 13 in our psalm says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." So when you're struggling with the here and now, with the trial, with the problem, remember, God is in eternity. God is outside of time. So when we pray, we're speaking to our loving Abba Father in heaven, who is outside of time, who has a complete perspective of beginning to end. And you're able to say, "Lord, I'm dealing with this right now. God, I need your help. I'm struggling with this. Lord, please, please show me the way. Lord, teach me what I need to know. What can I learn from this trial?" And he will give you the strength. He's so faithful. That's what he wants us to do, is to cry out to him in that moment. I always say that one of the best prayers you can make is, "Lord, help." "Lord, help me with this, because I'm struggling. I can't see what you're doing here. Lord, it's just a fog. And I'm really struggling." When you're that open and honest and transparent with your Lord, he will bless you for that. So we're called to live eternally. That old saying, you know, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You've heard that? Well, let's flip it around and say, they're so heavenly minded, they're doing earth a lot of good. Right? So let's put a positive slant on that, because we have heaven in our future. How many people can say that? Especially the ones we're praying for. We want them to be able to say that. So he gives us the proper eternal perspective on life. Thirdly, it's about the fruit, the fruition. Our God lifts us up so that we can expect great things. Our verse here in the psalm, verse 14 now says, "The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down." When we go through trials, we're humbled, aren't we? And we're reminded we're just flesh and blood. And we're not even going to be around here. Our life is terminal. We're all going to die. And sorry to proclaim that, but it's true. And it's so important for us to be able to go through this life with that perspective, but that constant question of, do I know what's going to happen after this life? Do I believe everything the Bible teaches? I remember being confronted after I first got saved through the early trials of my walk was, wow, do I really believe the Bible? Do I really believe this stuff? And if you've ever been confronted that way, you know what I'm talking about. Because your faith is challenged, right? In certain trials is, okay, maybe this is God challenging me and really challenging my faith, because this is a really difficult moment. And when that happens, it's a decision, right, that we make in that moment, saying, you know what? This was what I had to do, is say, yeah, yes, Lord, I believe. I take all of this to heart. I choose to believe. Choose this day whom you will serve, right, in Joshua. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when you take that step of faith, everyone, that's when God can work in your life. It's a matter of faith, isn't it? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But you turn that around with faith, it is possible to please God. And God can do a lot. We talked about this last time with a little, can he? A little mustard seed of faith, he can do a lot. So where are we at in our faith quotient? We're all in different places, aren't we? And that's okay. We're all on this narrow path, just trying to figure out what life's all about. But let me tell you, God is so faithful. He will give you the clarity. He will give you the vision. He will give you the purpose. He will give you the drive and the desires of your heart. And when you walk with Him step by step by step, you discover how good He is and how much He loves you and how much He wants to bless you, maybe not financially, but just to give you peace. What's the value of peace in your heart? You can't put a money figure on that, right? What's the value of knowing you are loved by a holy, loving, good God? What's the value? You can't put a dollar sign on that. It's just in your heart, and you have that peace and that joy and that peace that surpasses all understanding, right? Because it's not of this world. We are not of this world. And so when you're able to remove yourself from the problems of life, whatever kind of trial you're going through, and look to the future, look expectantly, you know what? God, yeah, maybe I'm struggling right now, but I know I can get through this because we're in this together. You and me, God, we're a good team. And He's got this. So the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down or humbled. He has to break us sometimes, doesn't He? A lot of times. Break our pride, break our ideas what life is all about. And God's good at correcting us, isn't He? But when He does and we allow Him to change our heart, sky's the limit. And when we are able to acknowledge brothers and sisters that are going through difficult times and we come alongside and just say, hey, I'm praying for you. And or you have that conversation, it starts to get deep and maybe pretty heavy. It reminds me of our old senior pastor said, any conversation that doesn't end in prayer is a waste of time. I always thought that was so profound because I get convicted every time, you know, I talk to somebody, I don't pray for them. But I will tell them I'll pray and I try to make a note of it. And maybe it's not practical every single time, but it is something to take to heart for sure. We serve a giving God. Verse 15, the eyes of all look expectantly to you and give you them their food in due season. Verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. So when we live life expectantly, God provides through the deepest desires of our heart. And it talks about food here. And there's physical food, of course. And I ate way too much this Christmas. It was just, everything was good. And praise God. But it's not just physical food. It's spiritual food. And again, why we are bringing the Word of God here is to feed God's church spiritually. So we know we're well fed. We're rooted and grounded in love, and so we can look expectantly that the basics are covered and God can do something great here. Psalm 121, 1 and 2 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help in the most difficult trials of life comes from the Lord, and that's what strengthens our faith. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all things is at hand, including this message. And in our prayers, we're called to pray believing. So many times in my life, I prayed and say, well, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray this, but I'm just going to give you a little mustard seed of faith because I have no idea how you're going to work this one out because it's so complicated, so difficult from my limited point of view. But from God's point of view, He said, Brad, I got this. And He just blows me away sometimes. God answers prayers, yes, no, or wait. The hard one. And most of the time we have to wait. But when we wait on the Lord, good things happen. And when we live expectantly, when we look at His creation and the evidence of his love. It strengthens our faith and we're able to live faithfully. When we take to heart our generation, our time, that we're here on this earth and we're able to break out of the moment and live eternally and see God in heaven and where we're headed, it helps us get an eternal perspective on life so we can live eternally. And the fruit of all this, to live fruitfully, is that in the most difficult trials of life, God lifts us up. And we're able to bear fruit from even the most difficult times by faith. So as we look expectantly, how do we do that? We live faithfully, we live eternally, and we live fruitfully because we trust the Lord. Our heart for this church is that we expect great things to happen here because this is the house of the Lord. This is God's church. He's going to add to the church daily those being saved. He is going to have his perfect will here. And we pray his perfect will here is for his blessing, to pour out his spirit so we can see great things happen and we can be witnesses of his love together. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for blessing us with your scriptures. God, I just lift up all my sisters and my brothers here now. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon them. And if there's anyone here this morning or anyone watching or listening that cannot answer that question with an absolute affirmative that if Jesus was to rapture us right now, that I know I would go. I would know without any doubt that I would meet him in the air. If that's you and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, all you have to do right where you sit, right where you're listening or watching, you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know that you are rapture ready. And if that's you, just please repeat this simple prayer after me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to forgive me, Lord, of all my sins, past, present, and future. Give me a brand new heart. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. Now write my name in your book of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If that was you, if you received the Lord, please come and see us afterwards. We can pray with you and get you a Bible and help you with your first steps. If you recommitted, same thing. If you're online, God bless you. Please contact us at the church so we can help you. For the rest of you, Lord bless you. We've got a new year. We've got big things coming, we pray. Pray big for this church, okay? And as we do this together, let's ask for God's blessing. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Remember the New Year's prayer service, 4:00 here in the parking lot on Thursday. And we'll see you next time. God bless you.